What's poppin'? Welcome to your health class, the show about helping you lose fat, ditch your comfort zone, and then we're going to change our generation. I'm Trevor, health and nutrition coach, and today we're going to be diving into three different articles, one going over artificial sweeteners and their impact on you. Actually, not all of them are artificial, but non-nutritive sweeteners. That just doesn't sound as good. Then we're also going to be going into cholesterol and protein and aging and how those two go together. But before that, welcome Courtney to the show.
Thank you. I'm before the intro. Wow. This is special.
I know. We're making a big splash today, you know? So cue that intro.
I took my turmeric shot this morning, so I'm feeling pretty swell. Yeah. I've been focused on my health. Yeah. I've been tossing $100 bills down wishing wells. Yeah. Limo tinted windows, baby, I can't kiss and tell. Passive in my head, but it's not negative. Spewing all your trash. Please keep your sentiments, because I don't need the energy you're giving off unsettling.
Thank you for tuning in today. I'm excited for you to be here as always. And this one's going to be huge as far as this is a huge study coming out about the gut health. I'm excited to talk about this one. It took me a little bit to get through. Like, this is a lot longer study than most of them.
Yeah.
But I'm excited to talk about it. And also, the other two are going to bring up really good conversations. But moving on, before we dive into it, share this show with one person. That's the fee for the show. I appreciate you guys. The show continues to grow. So I just want to say thank you. And also, that's the fee. Keep sharing it. But let's dive into the show. Let's not waste any more time because this first one is interesting. So it's titled The Personalized Microbiome Driven Effects of Non-Nutritive Sweeteners on Human Glucose Tolerance. That's what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah.
So this one is like hot off the press. Like this one just came out, I think like a week ago since...
Hot off the panini press?
What? Courtney hungry?
A little bit.
But so this study's like huge goal here is to see like what the different artificial sweeteners, actually they're not all artificial. We're looking at sucralose, stevia, aspartame, saccharin, and then just comparing it to glucose, seeing like how these things are affecting your body. And so this is actually a randomized controlled trial because most of these things we're seeing, they're in animal studies or I've seen, I think, a couple in vitro, like just test tube studies. Yeah. But most of them I've seen done are animal studies. So this is huge that it's actually on people and it does a little bit of a follow-up as well to try and get a good like analysis. Like this is really in-depth. And they looked at groups of 20. And so what they did is they actually took each one of these sweeteners and then a control group and they just had glucose. So one thing that is kind of important to note here to start off is it's not just like the pure form of these sweeteners. It's paired with glucose. It's like a glucose binding agent. So it's like a little packet they're taking each day.
Yeah, that's a good part to note.
Because it's been some speculation that pairing one of these sweeteners with glucose like enhances the response of it. It's like, I don't know if it's just the fact that it's extra sweetness that your body's like receiving in and then you get the little bit of glucose and it's expecting more.
Yeah.
So that's like what we're speculating at this point. We don't truly know what's going on. And this study kind of gets into it a little bit more because really what it found was for taking these packets for a week, the sucralose and the saccharin group both found that they had significant changes in their microbiome. All groups did have shifts in their microbiome. All of them had significant changes. Mm-hmm. The sucralose and the saccharin group, though, they actually saw changes that changing their blood sugar response, though. So they would have a higher blood sugar response after the 1 week of going through this. And then it ended up mostly going back to normal after they had a week off of having these packets every single day. But it's kind of interesting because just like the glucose group didn't have that, the stevia group and even the aspartame group didn't have any of that. But the sucralose and the saccharin both had significant increases in their blood sugar.
I thought that was especially interesting given that sucralose tends to be, unless you're an avid soda drinker, because aspartame's in soda, mm-hmm. but sucralose tends to be like the most common one now because aspartame's been more demonized.
Yeah, sucralose is in everything, especially in the fitness world.
Oh, yeah, for sure. In protein bars, in pre-workouts,
honestly,
all of
it's
it.
Probably the best tasting one.
That's true.
It's got the most like, realistic, like, sweet flavor to it.
Well, and for anyone listening too, it's Splenda. That's what sucralose is Splenda. So in case you like kind of recognize the taste, but I think it's also important to note that, you know, things went back to relative normality at the end. I think that's super important. That it's not like you have a sugar packet and, oh, your microbiome is gone for life. Or I shouldn't say sugar, you know, like a sucralose packet.
Yeah.
It's temporary.
Well, yeah. So getting into this, so they actually were able to conclude that, or they concluded in the study that the effects on the blood glucose were from the changes in the microbiome. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's a pretty interesting thing to see right there. Granted, like, this is not enough information. Like, let's just make this clear right now. Like, we do not have enough information from this to really figure out what this would do in the long run.
Right.
Like, we need a longer term study, like, something that's going into more depth on these things and seeing like what the long-term impact is. Cause we see everything pretty much return to a baseline afterwards. And then also the thing that I was thinking, like, you really don't know if like say having sucralose for a week is going to change your microbiome. And then like how long that change is going to, like, what is that actually going to be? But what it does show though, like really what the whole point of the study is we used to think that all these things just had an inert effect on our metabolism. Mm-hmm. Like, it didn't do anything. Like, these was just, like, a free thing that we could have. It doesn't do anything.
Yeah, if it sounds too good to be true, it is.
Yeah. So, in my personal experience, I don't notice any digestive changes with stevia, but I did notice when I was having sucralose in my diet every day, it did change my bowels. Like, I just making that one switch, taking sucralose out and all the products containing it. Or again, it's not like I was having a packet of sucralose, so it wasn't an isolated thing. It was in like different fitness products, so like a protein bar or pre-workout drinks and stuff like that. So I could never really truly speculate or really conclude it was one thing, but I did notice my digestion got better the second I took those products out.
Yeah, and even though it's like anecdotal to say like, hey, you know, I noticed a difference once removing, that kind of, you know, especially if a lot of people are experiencing that, that kind of shows, you know, maybe it's not as innocent as we believe. Because, like, I know this study doesn't bring up erythritol, but I'm going to use it as an example. Because if I have erythritol, my bowel movements change.
That one's different, though.
No, but I'm just saying, like, people think the same thing out of erythritol, that it's free money. You know what I mean?
It's like your erythritol actually gets broken down to some extent. And like, so that one's like, these ones are specifically going to be talking about the non-nutritive ones, because these ones are like theoretically not digested.
Well, the point of what I'm saying though is that, you know, these things can affect you. And we think I know erythritol is different, but and so xylitol, et cetera, all the tols. all the sugar alcohols. But that's another one that's, you know, we think we're getting off scot-free.
Yeah.
And we're not.
Yeah, that makes more sense.
Yeah. And then another thing with these long-term studies, we need these long-term studies to prove the short-term studies, which is unfortunate because, you know, like a lot of things, we could be doing this behavior for 20 years before we find out, oh, shoot, it's bad.
Well, it's cool because like this did at least give us enough evidence like, okay, so we actually have room here to research further. Right. So like this isn't like an end-all be-all study. Mm-hmm. This is like the thing that you can like really open the floodgates. It's like, okay, so we have evidence now that, hey, this is making changes. We don't know if they're good or bad. But like one thing they noted in here that I thought was really interesting is in particular the sucralose and the saccharin were making it farther down in the digestive tract.
Interesting.
So what they're basically speculating is like, you're not supposed to have too many nutrients going through there. Mm-hmm. And having these sort of, or not nutrients, but having, not having too many things not broken down already in there. Because like these things aren't getting broken down very much. Right. Like it's a very small percentage. So feeding bacteria down there that normally shouldn't be fed.
Right.
So whenever we're starting to feed bacteria the wrong place, you can think of SIBO, for instance.
Oh, okay.
That's feeding, that comes from feeding bacteria too early in your system.
Uh-huh.
Now we're going to the other end, feeding bacteria too late. So we don't know if this is going to cause a problem, but it kind of leaves room for speculation. So.
Yeah. And this is why science is so rapidly changing.
Yeah.
It's half of what we know now is probably wrong.
Yeah.
And we're going to find out soon.
So like, this isn't like, okay, go, you need to get rid of all these. These are causing cancer. These are doing something crazy. Like, no, this is just like, we thought they were doing nothing, or research. We just didn't know if they were doing anything before.
Right.
Now we can say like, hey, there's really good evidence that these are probably doing something to our gut microbiome. These are having some sort of impact. So now we need to do more research and figuring out like what the heck, because like having some sort of glucose response like doesn't necessarily mean much for the short term, but what could this mean over a course of a year, or more so like a decade or several decades?
Right. And then the importance of a healthy microbiome, it cannot be understated.
Mm-hmm.
It cannot be understated. I can't stress that enough. And unfortunately, a lot of people just don't understand, which is not their fault, or they just don't care.
Yeah. So really, the conclusion I take from this is really, we don't know if any of these are good or bad or anything like that at this point. And anybody claiming to know doesn't really know. But mm-hmm. all you can really do is play on the safe side. If I don't know, I'm going to probably try and limit these things as much as possible. For me, I feel better. But also, they say it in the study. And I would say the same thing. If you're choosing between one of these and sugar, I would not choose sugar. I wouldn't choose sugar in that scenario. Like, ideally, you take or lower both of these, but if you're having one or the other, like, these are still, like, with the evidence we have right now, looking safer than sugar.
Yeah, in the ideal world, you wouldn't have much of either, but this is not an ideal world. Yeah. So, real world.
But it's just really interesting, because, like, this is, I think, a big step, because this is research that needs to be done. Like,
oh, for sure.
Especially as these ingredients and, like, things like, I guess keto is not so much of a thing, but we're looking for like more low calorie things, especially in the fitness world.
Oh yeah.
So you see sucralose in literally everything.
Everything.
Everything. Like it's hard to even find a good protein powder nowadays without it.
Oh, for sure. Luckily there's a few good ones out there with like stevia.
Yeah.
If you prefer that, but.
And even that, they did find that it had a microbial change because they True. Did. I didn't note this before, but they did do stool analysis.
True. Yes.
To see like how things changed. But it's crazy. Like, there's going to be a lot of research coming out in these next couple of years.
Oh, yeah. Excited.
Awesome. So moving on to the next article. This one's going to be titled, This is the number one fastest way to reduce your cholesterol. Which.
That sounds clickbaity.
Yeah. The thing I really don't like about this. So, like, once we get into the advice, I don't, like, completely hate most of it.
Yeah.
I think most of it's pretty solid.
Yeah, well, especially once you get into, like, says, stop smoking. Well, yeah, no shit.
So, I mean, like, if this is your reasoning for getting into this, like, these are helpful changes you should be making, not necessarily for your cholesterol.
Yeah, just in general.
Because the thing that, especially if you get into this when it's talking about, let me scroll to the part, where it's talking about, like, the CDC is attributing like so many deaths to cholesterol and high cholesterol and all that. And it's just like, first off, we took dietary cholesterol out of the recommendations back in like, I think it was 2015 or 2018 or somewhere around that time. Like there's no dietary limit on cholesterol anymore. Right. We found like dietary limits, not a huge influence over your total.
Right.
But then more so what we've seen in research as well is dietary cholesterol. I'm not going to say it's irrelevant because like it is an important marker, but it's like a marker that only really means something amongst other markers.
Yeah.
So it's like one thing that if you had this one like flag waving up there, it doesn't mean a whole lot. But if you see like other signs with it,
right,
that's what we're looking for. So really, we want to be seeing these numbers in like context. Like cholesterol by itself, the whole problem is like the whole statin industry kind of like skews like what information we know.
Right.
Because like statins are a huge industry and they're directly about lowering your cholesterol.
Money, 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 money.
And you see like the guidelines for cholesterol slowly move down every couple of years for what is the new healthy range. And it's just like, okay, let's take that information out of it because we see one set number is not healthy.
Right.
It's like, for instance, if you go on to a carnivore diet, you're going to see your cholesterol rise quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't have high triglycerides or messed up fasting glucose, stuff like that, we're not too worried about it. And like, that's really where you should be starting to worry when you have like multiple different things all pointing to like, hey, something's not functioning properly. But like one thing, one like little flag out there, isn't enough information.
Right.
And so that's why I don't really like things like this, because they've actually found if your cholesterol gets too low, it starts impairing your brain function, because cholesterol, it's essential for you.
Right.
And in the right context, it's essential for great health.
Just like salt, how that was demonized for
that's
a while.
That's a great example.
Yeah.
It's like, you don't want to go too crazy on salt, but as long as you don't have heart issues or hypertension already, you're usually pretty fine.
Yeah, there's a reason why in Africa they trade, or at least past tense traded, gold for salt.
Mm.
There's a reason.
So, like, once we get into most of the advice here, I'm pretty on board with it. I like it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, 7 to 9 hours at night of sleep.
Solid.
Yes. Quit smoking.
For
sure. I recommend. Eat a healthy diet.
Absolutely. But wait.
I didn't really care for the fact that we had to get rid of all fatty cuts of meat, get rid of all full fat dairy, butter, shortening lard, fried foods. Like, get rid of the fried foods.
Yeah.
And most of us don't really need to be eating fried foods every day.
Yeah.
But like demonizing
butter?
Yeah. It hurts me.
It hurts. And you, like, you put a criminal amount of butter on your things.
Hey, we don't talk about that. They don't need to know my biases, okay? No, I'm just kidding. But like, really, when you look at it in the context of a healthy diet without all these things, while they may raise your cholesterol, that's not the issue. Like, the issue really is if your triglycerides are messed up, and then like your blood sugar's out of whack. Because like, that's a huge thing, is when you have high or messed up blood sugar, your triglycerides are out of whack, and now you also have high cholesterol. That's a sign that something's going wrong in your body.
Right.
The problem isn't the cholesterol. There's other things, and the cholesterol is just showing as one of the signs.
Right.
So it's really just looking at this as like one bit of the information, and just looking at cholesterol as one big thing. Yeah, it drives me nuts.
Yeah.
And especially replacing things with lean cuts of meat, low fat or non-fat dairy products, vegetable oils, nuts and seeds, all that sort of stuff. All like most of those things, like it's not bad to include. You don't really want to be demonizing the full fat either.
Yeah.
And my just really like getting away from demonizing most foods in general is going to be like a much healthier mindset.
Oh, for sure.
So especially if you're doing all these things right for your metabolism, you can get away with a lot more than you think you can.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the important thing is getting your body to be able to bounce back, mm-hmm. you know, get it in a healthy state where you have go out and get some fried wings or whatever it is that you want. And then the next day you bounce back.
Yeah.
You know,
you're right back on your actual. That's the exception to the rule and not like, oh, I'm dieting now so I can go back to those foods.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then they go on to more exercise regularly advice or lose excess weight.
A lot of these I feel like are just such surface level
mm-hmm.
recommendations, and as if this like kind of article hasn't been beaten to death.
Yeah.
Like you'll find a million and one articles that say the exact same thing out there.
Well, it's just more or less like I saw this and I was just like, are we still talking about this?
That's what I mean. Like it's like, are we still gonna make whole new articles about this?
Right. It's just like, okay, guys, we got to move on to something better. Like, this is not the end of the story. Like, we got to look at the whole big picture of your health, not just one marker.
Yeah.
Okay. Now that we beat to death the beat to death story.
Right.
Let's move on to the last article. And this one's going to be titled, How Leucine in Whey Helps Prevent Muscle Loss. So really, this is talking about the context of like aging, especially in older populations, mm-hmm. of like leucine is going to be one of the amino acids, like one of the parts that makes up the protein. That's really going to be stimulating muscle growth and like stimulating your body to build more muscle. Like, it's one of the essential amino acids for that.
Yeah.
With protein now, or with whey protein, they're talking about that because they talk about some of the different benefits. Like, it's very rich in leucine. It's got glutathione, which is a great antioxidant. Like, really one of the master antioxidants for your body. Right. Like, all the different benefits for that. And I like this article, and I don't like it because I would... Especially what we're talking about in the context of aging. Mm-hmm. Like, what drives me nuts about the current aging advice is it's very scared of mTOR. So it's one of the things that's activated when you eat more protein.
Mm, right.
So people are scared of that because it's one of the things that's been linked to aging. Like, having more mTOR activation has shown signs of, like, aging faster. So this is part of the reason, like, there's some fear behind protein and eating too much protein,
which I mean it makes sense to be fearful of that. I mean, yeah. There's a lot of reasons to be fearful,
and I just wish this article, because it talks about some great benefits like how leucine's needed and really diving into like how just having protein like this is going to help your body like maintain muscle longer. Like, obviously, mm-hmm. you can't just have protein and call it a day, but right. like put protein in the context of stimulating your muscles and actually going outside and doing something.
Yeah.
Doing all the things, because this is like a two-sided thing. Like, you can't just eat protein and expect your muscles to grow. And you can't just go exercise and expect your muscles to grow.
You gotta do both.
Yeah, exactly. So in the context of that, it's great for that because it kind of goes into like what your body needs a little bit. When we're talking about aging here, I really wish it would have touched more on the mTOR side of things.
And yeah.
Kind of like ending that fear.
Yeah, that would have been a good point to add in.
It's like, that's something that I've seen some more research on lately, is we look at mTOR and this age-relating side of protein as a bad thing, whereas there's really kind of like cholesterol. There's more to the story.
Yeah.
Like, we see like, we're looking at this as black and white, like, oh, if mTOR goes up, our aging, it goes down.
Rarely is everything mm-hmm. as superficial as that. I can name like 10 things off the top of my head that yeah. seem superficial, but are highly complex and have like so many contributing factors. It's mm-hmm. never that simple.
Because you listen to Dr. Gabrielle Lyon at all?
Mm-mm.
So she's actually specializes in working with older populations.
Okay.
And she is all about protein, all about like building muscle, because like really this is going to be your biggest source of like anti-aging. Mm-hmm. It's like really when you see people like starting to age is when they're losing muscle, their muscles getting sacrificed or like even like compromised with fat. Like, that is not what you want.
They become frail.
Exactly. So, while yes, you can theoretically keep yourself like living a little bit longer with the mTOR side of things, we're overlooking the whole like maintaining your muscle mm-hmm. over the long term and like how much better that is as far as like longevity goes.
Quality
like,
of life, too.
Exactly.
Yeah.
As if you're 80 in bed, you're not having any mTOR activation, but you can't pick yourself up. That's a whole different side of the story. And so she's really good at explaining like how this mTOR pathway is maybe not as bad as we think it is. Mm-hmm. I mean, granted, like everything we need to put in context.
Yeah.
Like really, we have a lot to learn on this stuff as well. Like this is just the emerging thing, but like yeah. really understanding like protein, especially as you're aging, increasing the amount that you're actually having is going to be huge when it comes to longevity.
Mm-hmm. I think a lot of things are taken to like, what do I want to say? One size fits all.
Yeah.
like I'm always going to relate back to gut health. That's just who I am. But for example, like the recommendation of more fiber, more fiber, more fiber.
Yeah.
It's not that black and white.
Yeah.
So an ideal world. So
see, the problem is though, is for the general population, I would say more protein, more protein, more protein.
Yeah. The average person, like just talking to people that I know and just kind of getting a general idea of what they eat in a day, I'm just like, you are getting probably like 30 grams of protein in a day.
Well, that's the thing is like right now from what I see, like people before, like I work with them as far as like clients go, like the amount of protein they're getting before, like we got to get that way up. So right now my message is more protein, more protein, more protein, because we're so far away from that actual, like where we should be.
Yeah. I feel like actually saying that 30 grams is a little bit of a little being generous.
Yeah.
A lot of people it's carbs all day, every day, maybe a protein with dinner, but
carbs and fats really like,
yeah,
but not necessarily like the healthy fats we're talking about in the show, but yeah, like some of just the processed fats that are coming in with the processed foods.
Yeah.
So I like this article as far as like how it talks about the actual antioxidant effects of protein. Cause like, that's something that's so overlooked. Mm-hmm. It's like one of our most like powerful antioxidants, glutathione, is prevalent in whey protein. So like having that is like helping your body on so many levels, like get rid of some of the stress that we're having, like just a better functioning body, better functioning metabolism. Plus you're getting the extra protein in there. So really at the end of the day, get more protein, more protein,
more protein,
more protein,
more protein.
Like just take whatever your goal weight is. And just eat that amount of grams of protein a day. Which is probably going to be drastically more than what you're doing right now.
Even if you're someone who wants to be super, super thin, like say you want to be 100 pounds, 100 grams of protein.
Yeah, that's a easy guideline to get.
Yeah.
No, but really like that is going to keep you satiated. It's going to help you build muscle, especially as you start lifting more or just doing any like general activity. And really, like this is going to be giving your body like what it needs to actually repair itself and build itself up rather than over time getting torn farther and farther down.
Right.
So, guys, if you like this show, make sure to share it. If this is helping you lose some fat. Well, this one is, I think this one was like a lot more thinking than normal.
We did that thinking thing with our brains.
Well, no, just not necessarily like, I don't know about thinking is the right word, but more of like just bringing up good conversations as far as like the artificial sweeteners or the non-nutritive sweeteners, the cholesterol topic, and then finishing off with the protein. And like really like the second two is just like ending the fear behind them. Like we don't need to be scared of eating protein. We don't need to be scared of having cholesterol. Like really, it's just upgrading our diets over time, and a lot of these little details really start to take care of themselves.
True that.
So I appreciate you guys. Thank you for tuning in. And in case I don't see you, good afternoon, good evening, and good night.
In case I don't see you, good afternoon, good evening, and good night.